This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What a night. Boston, Massachusetts, Canada comes through 3-2 in overtime, and it's Connor McDavid who's the hero. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray. Andrew Perloff still on vacation, so EJ Stewart is sitting in. Listen, best player in the sport, scores the game-winning goal. It's almost storybook, EJ. Now, it didn't go our way for the Americans.
Nope.
But I think we're kind of split as U.S. hockey fans here, and we know we're on in Canada. And so congratulations to Canada. This was an emotionally charged game, and you come out victorious. And I think there was a lot to this. There was a lot of layers, geopolitical and otherwise. And I'm sure this was a big relief for everyone in Canada. Hey, we still run this sport, as the Prime Minister Justin Trudeau tweeted last night.
Yeah.
It's still our sport. It's still our country. But from the U.S. point of view, I think there's kind of two different lanes here. Either you feel disappointed because when are we finally going to beat these guys in an international game with stakes? Or you feel like, hey, we've closed the gap here on the Canadians. And yeah, it's still a work in progress, but this was a pick 'em game as far as betting is concerned. And is as tight as it could be, 3-2 in overtime, you know, hey, get them next time, or hey, you know, not to say good job, good effort,
sure,
like in a pandering way or a pejorative way rather, but to say, hey, this was a good roster that even had some injuries, wasn't even at full strength, and look at how they pushed Canada to the brink.
Yeah, there's an aspect of, you know, you left it all out there on the ice and really is nothing to hang your head on. I think the problem becomes, and maybe it's unfair, but because this ending was so similar to 2010.
Yeah.
It just makes you wonder, is this kind of like just a glass ceiling that they can't crack? Because we've had 15 years now to, quote unquote, close the gap, and the result was the same. So then to me, it makes me ask the question, did we really close the gap? Or are we just where we were in 2010 when we went to the gold medal game, pushed Canada to the brink? It looked like they were going to win. And of course, Sidney Crosby comes through in the end. What happens this time on
the new Sidney Crosby
on U.S. ice, now at home, you get an opportunity in a gold medal atmosphere, not necessarily obviously in the Olympics, but it's a gold medal atmosphere. You have a game, you have plenty of opportunities, you don't get it done, and then the best player in the world, who's not on your team, he's on Canada, finishes it. Like, it just feels like it's the same. So then that makes me wonder, in terms of the future of U.S. hockey, is this the best we're ever going to get? Do we have to just be okay with settling for second place? Because it doesn't feel like we've moved the needle in terms of being able to get over the hump over Canada.
So we're going to see what happens with the Olympics next cycle, 2026. That's going to be in Milan in Italy. It's going to be a great backdrop. It's not going to be exactly the same, though, because you can't script it out to know that the USA and Canada are going to meet again. You know,
right.
Russia's going to have a say. Obviously, Sweden and Finland, who are in this tournament, are going to have a say, and others. But, you know, one thing that I do, like, kind of love about this is, this is really a great roadmap that we've had for some time for sports.
Yes.
And it's just impossible not to see the dichotomy here and how different these all-star breaks went for the NHL and for the NBA. The NBA's couldn't have flopped anymore. The NHL's was a rocket ship. And we all were watching that game last night. I don't know if the ratings came out yet. I'm sure they'll be out soon. I bet it did gangbusters.
Yeah.
So there's a model here. And putting stakes like playing for your country is, I think, one thing that NBA players have definitely bought into.
Sure.
I mean, it had some ebbs and flows. We all remember Athens got the bronze medal. It was super embarrassing. Led to the Redeem team. But you care when it's about playing for your country and to, you know, forget in-season tournaments and skills competitions and I would say even slam dunk contests. Like, some of those things feel just a little outdated. This has never gotten old, and in fact, we're only ratcheting up more that we like country v. country.
Yeah, like I said earlier in the show, Maggie, to me, this is the future. If you're the NBA, if you're MLB, if you're any professional sport, and to be honest, the NFL will never obviously have a world tournament, but the fact that they're so invested in having these games overseas and potentially having a team overseas, they also know that this is the future. Like, for whatever reason, country pride and bringing in other places beyond the U.S., that brings eyeballs and attention. And for the players, it brings a level of engagement and urgency that we just can't replicate other than a playoff atmosphere or a championship atmosphere.
Yep.
So to me, if I was the NBA, if I was Major League Baseball and they already have the World Baseball Classic, this now needs to be a fixture of your regular seasons. Like, to me, the World Baseball Classic, forget about doing that in March. That needs to be in July. For the NBA, I know we have the Olympics every year, every 4 years, and they have the World Cup, which is not as big, but, you know, people still like the World Cup. You need to be having some version of USA versus world, or maybe putting some countries together in an annual classic that you do every year, because the NBA regular season, a lot of these other regular seasons, are just too long, and there's too many options to watch other things than watch, you know, game 55 of an NBA season or game 91 of an MLB season. There's just too much competition. People can go on Netflix, go on Peacock, go on whatever and watch whatever they want. They can go on the internet and watch anything they want. Everything's at their fingertips. So you're in competition no longer with just the NFL or with another league. You're in competition with
everything.
Bravo. You're in competition with ABC.
Yeah, Netflix, everything.
You're in competition with everything. So you need to have as many big tentpole moments as possible in your regular season. It's not going to be just with having teams playing regular season games. You're going to have to add an international component to your seasons as well.
Yeah, and to be honest, like, the guys have to buy in, or the athletes, it could be women, that they have to buy in too. And that's the difference here. PK Subban said it on ESPN, and he was right. The NHL gives you the platform, but the NHL didn't make this. Hockey didn't make this work. The guys made it work. The players made it work because they invested so much. You know, same thing with the NBA. It's like, you know, people love making fun of Adam Silver, and he's a terrible commissioner, and I don't agree with everything he's done.
Sure.
But he can't make these guys play hard in an all-star game. He can't. And to be honest, with the NBA, these guys are making so much money already. Even the incentive of $500,000, $1 million, whatever you want, they wipe their nose with this money. And I'm not saying they don't care about money. I just don't think money is the carrot that people think it is when it comes to the NBA, because the, you know, 12th man is making $5 million.
Yeah, and there's some truth to that. But I think that's why when we talk about the money, I think you need a much more enticing incentive. Like, to me, if you're talking about an all-star game or something like that, you know, before it was, you know, $500,000, $1 million, that's not enough. The NBA, you saw how many ads and promotions were during that all-star game? I mean, it was like it was a corporate event. It didn't even seem like an actual basketball game. So the money is there. They have the money to give each guy that wins an all-star game $5 million. And that's a big deal. Like, $5 million is going to make a guy think whether or not they're going to, you know, block a shot or make a foul than, you know, a million or $500,000.
Is that sustainable, though? $5 million for everybody?
They just signed a $75 billion TV deal. They got the money, Maggie. And I think I've always been of the conspiracy theory that this has actually been a little bit of a quiet protest of the all-star game. Is that the NBA players are seeing these sponsors, even though, in theory, they're all is revenue sharing.
So yeah, they get 50%. They actually get 48%.
Right, I think that it's kind of been a silent process. Being, wait, all these guys are being sold how much, and then why are we playing hard? I think that they see all the money going around, and they're like, how much money are we getting of this? So I think that needs to be a bigger aspect. I think the regular season, you need to have cash incentives. So, like, okay, you're worried about game 12 not mattering. All right, well, say if you win 20 of your first 30 games, that's an extra $5 million.
Yeah.
Like, there are things you can do to talk these guys' language, because we could say the money's too much, but at the end of the day, that's the only language these guys know.
No, I get it, but I think the fans will roll their eyes at that. It's like, seriously, we got to pay you even more money just to get you to care and show up? Like, I think there's a disconnect between your paying public mm-hmm. and the athlete. And I'm not saying that athletes aren't entitled to everything. Get yeah. what you're worth. We don't publish the salaries of the billionaire owners. They're obviously making tons of money off yep. of the sport. But I've learned this working in sports for as long as I have. The fans will side with the team over the player. Like, except for some very rare occasions,
sure.
they will side with the team over the player. And they want. I think fans will throw up their hands and say, oh my gosh, you're making $50 million a year and now you need an extra $2 million just to give a crap about a slam dunk competition? Like, come on. And whether that's right or wrong, I'm just yeah, telling sure. you, I think that rubs fans the wrong way.
And that may be the conversation leading up to it. But then when Ja Morant goes and does a 360 between the legs and on All-Star Saturday night, that's going to go away really quickly. Mm-hmm. Like, that is what, at the end of the day, the fans really care about. I think, yes, in their back of their heads, they're looking at these guys and feeling like they're pampered and they're spoiled and they're making all this money. There's no question there's a part of that. But at the end of the day, that wasn't the reason why people were upset with All-Star Weekend. People were upset about All-Star Weekend because they felt like it was a clown show
yeah.
and the games weren't taken seriously. They want to see the elite athletes be elite.
So once you get
to that point, I think a lot of those issues, they kind of go away.
I think actually the bigger thing is that these guys are getting paid so much and they don't play enough. That's actually what it is. You know, it's like the load management, which isn't all just the NBA player saying, I want to sit out. But sometimes that it's like, well, if you're Luka Doncic and you're not going to play a back-to-back because you're not in good enough shape, maybe you aren't worth the $350 million max.
Yeah.
You know, are we going to pay
yeah.
these guys not to play? 855-212-4227. Anyway, hockey. Great night. I know it didn't go the U.S. way, but still a great night. Chris is in Birmingham, Alabama, wants to talk about it. Good morning, Chris.
How you guys doing this morning? I have to agree with EJ here, Maggie. I think you're asking too much of the NBA guys when the workload is kind of strenuous at that. I would say if you're going to apply this much pressure, you probably need to cut some of the NBA in your regular season games down, and every now and then – don't opt into the NBA All-Star team. They come to the Olympics, but then there'll be people against that. So in that sense, there's no winning in the case, right? So the case being, that being said, we shouldn't hold them that much. Should hold them accountable, but not that much accountable when we ourselves don't really invest that much into. What in hockey that much anyway? I say just let the Canadians have their sport and we have our sports because.
Wait a minute, Chris! You can't wave the white flag like that. We got to compete, man. As a loser, that's a loser take.
Hold on, Maggie. Let me tell you something. Do we keep the same energy for the USA men's soccer team? Because we've given them numerous opportunities to actually win, and you know what? They piss away every opportunity.
Yep.
And we. And they use the banner of the USA flag as like, you know what, that's the reason you invest in us, because we're proud of us. No. Every time they don't win a FIFA, we take away their USA men's citizenship.
Wait a minute, it's citizenship. It's not American, yeah, Chris.
You lose in Brazil, and you know what? You stay in Brazil.
Oh my gosh, you gotta stay in Brazil. Maybe they get a little better if they were in Brazil. No, here's the thing though, Chris, it's actually kind of similar, I think, with hockey and with soccer. That's a funny call. Thank you for making it. We don't have the best player in the world.
Exactly.
And I actually think the gap, we've closed the gap a lot tighter on hockey than we have soccer.
Yeah.
I mean, soccer, sometimes we don't even qualify for the World Cup.
Yeah.
I know Alex is our big soccer fan here, Manny too. But, I mean, there's no shot that USA is not qualifying for the Olympics in hockey. Like, that's ludicrous. Like, we are, look at 3-2 overtime last night. I'm not going with Chris and saying, let's just give them their sport and we'll focus on something else. Like what, chugging beer?
But I do think Chris makes a point in that at the end of the day, like our American society in terms of how we view the NBA is about ring culture. And that is a part of our culture, is we want to count championships. We want to see, all right, the value you have as a player is in how many times your team won championships, which is kind of crazy because it's not an individual sport.
Right.
This is not tennis where Serena Williams can win 27 or whatever majors and we say, okay, you were responsible for all 27 of those majors. There's a lot of factors that go into it. It really, in many ways, doesn't make much sense, but that is the reality. And in hockey, the culture is different. Yes, they care about the Stanley Cup. Everybody knows it's the best trophy we have, and it's maybe the best playoffs. It's an awesome postseason. But pride in your country means a lot more. Being available means a lot more. Being a tough guy just means a lot more. These are things that aren't part of the American fan experience when it comes to the NBA. We can complain about it all we want, but we're complicit in it because we've co-signed on it. So to some degree, I kind of agree with that part of it for Chris.
Well, here's the thing, though. The irony is that what percentage of the teams are actually in the United States? 85? I can't actually do the math there. But
in NHL?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Like,
it's eight, here.
Yeah, most of them are here.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's mostly being played on our soil. And by the way, we keep talking about this drought that Canada's in terms of winning a Stanley Cup. So I don't want to back down from hockey. As far as our world standing, I think we've come too far for that, made too much progress.
Yeah.
Soccer is a little interesting. I'm curious when the World Cup comes here, what happens. There'll be a lot of pressure on the Americans. But we have so much further to go to close that gap. We really do. The world, it's their football, you know? It's their number one. We just, you know, we're not there.
Yeah, in some ways, with hockey, you could argue maybe we're like, you know, in terms of how much we care, maybe we're second or third or fourth. Either way, we're kind of near the top in terms of the countries, in terms of the investment, the engagement involved with wanting to have great hockey teams, great hockey players. In soccer, I mean, what are we, like 30-something? I mean, like, it's just
Alex,
so many other
good,
countries.
By the way? What's our U.S. men's national team situation?
Like I think the young crop of players coming up now are better than it's ever been.
Heard that before, but okay.
Like, right.
So have I.
Pulisic is, like, one of the best players.
He's good.
He's 50 now.
All right, mix of Mexican soccer fan.
I think
I can feel the rivalry across the glass.
I haven't checked the FIFA rankings, but I assume they're probably like top 15, something like that. But you never see them as like the favorites to win the whole thing. They're only probably like favorites to win the, you know, CONCACAF Champions
League. Are we going to get out of the group stage?
I mean, you did last time.
Okay.
Yeah.
They seem to be able to do that most of the time.
Do you remember, though, I'm trying to think, was this two World Cups ago? When was the World Cup in South Africa?
2010.
Okay, so I'm going back a little bit. Yeah. I feel like half of that team, no one even spoke English on the team. Like, we went real liberal on an American citizen, because guys were, like, German.
Yeah, Jermaine Jones.
Jermaine Jones, his parents, I guess. Like, he didn't even speak English. We were just like, come on aboard.
Yeah, Jermaine Jones, you can just tell by his accent. Like, yes, I play for the American national team.
Right. And my thing was like, come on board, Jermaine.
Where are you from? Kenosha? I couldn't locate that accent.
And Johnson, too.
And I mean, if you take a look at the United States roster now, a lot of the players are Mexican-Americans that weren't good enough to make the Mexican national team.
Is that like Alejandro Bedoya and stuff?
Yeah,
guys like that.
Sendejas is one of the... He plays in the Mexican League, but he represents the U.S. team. By the way, the U.S. men's soccer team ranks 16th in the world now.
So we are moving up.
Yeah. But that's kind of, I feel like that's where we've
that's
been.
The highest in CONCACAF.
Yeah, I feel like that's where they've kind of been in that like, you know, if you're in the FIFA, you know, if you're in the World Cup, it basically round of 16 is kind of where they've been getting eliminated, right? Like round of 16. So that's kind of where they've been for a while. Like, and talking about the young players, like, I remember when Landon Donovan and Clint Dempsey and Michael Bradley in that generation was supposed to change life. They were supposed to change the landscape of American soccer, and I'm still waiting.
But you know what? The American soccer on the women's side has been a powerhouse for decades on decades on decades now. Yeah.
The reason why is because every other country had a head start towards in America
in the men's side,
whereas everyone the women's national team started like when everyone else started across the world.
Well, also, I think other countries. The investment in women's sports is not as much of a priority. I'm not saying in all, but in some countries, it's just not as much of a priority.
The main reason why it's not sort of the investment that we're not making for the men's. It's more so how we develop them here in this country. Because every time you see a young exciting teenager in America, they always go to Europe.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
but
that's
they should.
The problem. Yeah, no, I know, but I'm saying, like, if they want to try and get, like, it has to come towards, like, it shouldn't be pay to play, you know? That's the problem. And whereas, you know, in other countries in Europe, they pay the kids to play, you know?
We're a little bit different in our developmental leagues.
I watched the Beckham documentary and talking about, like, Manchester United signing him when he was, like, in high school. You know, like, he was, like, a teenager. He looked like a child as he was meeting, you know, Sir Alex Ferguson for the first time. that's a real thing. And it's similar to what we talk about with hockey, you talk about with soccer. And it's the same thing, that because those sports are secondary here in the U.S., we're just always going to be playing with one hand tied behind our back, because we know the next LeBron James is going to pick either football or basketball. The next Lamar Jackson, the next Josh Allen, we know where they're going to likely pick. Imagine if we got those kind of athletes. Imagine if Josh Allen was playing hockey. Are you kidding me? Like, that guy at his size flying down the ice, like, LeBron James would hurt somebody on an ice skating rink. But the reality is those guys are not playing those sports. So it just makes it tough.
855-212-4227. Been talking about the Four Nations final from last night, and congratulations to Canada. Can I tell you, I saw one of the great things that I will see in sports yesterday. Not hockey, something different. Been waiting for this forever, and it's finally here. And tell you what that is next. It's the Maggie and Perloff Show. EJ's in for Pearl.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This MLS game preview is sponsored by Lowe's. Members get more with My Lowe's Rewards. Don't wait. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Make sure to watch Lionel Messi's Inter Miami take on NYCFC in their first match of the 2025 MLS season tomorrow, 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. It's such a treat that we get to see Messi in this country now. I know, you know, like, he's still playing at such an incredibly high level.
Oh, yeah.
Even that is age. But was I right about this? Did I see him playing in like -4 degrees the other day in Kansas City?
Yes.
What is up with Kansas City and playing these sporting events in way too cold a weather? They did this with the Chiefs Dolphins game,
yep.
Which was like, you know, wind chill, I think, had it like -something.
Yep.
People are freezing their tushies off.
Yeah, people were getting you know, stuff amputated. They were losing fingers and
got
toes.
Really serious. Yeah. We could just move the game 24 hours. What? Why did they play this MLS game in such a was it MLS, right?
No, it was CONCACAF Champions League.
Of course CONCACAF it was. Champions MLS League. Would never do something like this. They're the best. It's CONCACAF, guys. That's where I need to write a strongly worded letter to.
Yeah, you need to write a letter to the entire continent.
You got an address for me?
Yeah, it's 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Yes.
Yeah, it's maggietakeachillpill.com.org.
It was weird, though. I do agree with that point. Like, I don't know why that game couldn't just
why'd they play it at night?
It was played. Because I mean,
a little in the day? Maybe you could have had a thawed out a little
who's
bit?
Who's going to show up at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Wednesday in Kansas City to watch
they're
a Champions
crazy
League?
Soccer fans. They would totally show up.
The okay. Aesthetic went crazy, though. The all, like, all black, I was it was so nice to see it, honestly.
Yeah, because you don't have to sit there.
Exactly.
Perfect from home.
CONCACAF yeah. Champions League. You know, you just can't have these things rescheduled.
All right. Well, listen, we're glad to be able to watch Messi take
match
on
day one.
Inter Miami, NYCFC, mano a mano.
Chase Stadium in Fort Lauderdale.
Love it. Tomorrow, 7:30 p.m. Eastern time.
Football.
Set your DVRs, guys. Thomas is in La Crosse, Wisconsin, and wants to talk about the hockey game from last night. Canada wins 3-2 in overtime in the Four Nations faceoff. Hey, Tom.
Good morning, Maggie. No Pearl up this morning, right, though?
Still on a zip line in Costa Rica.
You got EJ.
He's zip lining? EJ, good morning to you, by the way, brother man.
Hey, what's happening?
Thomas from La Crosse, Wisconsin is indeed here. I want to say really quickly, ziplining is so fun. For anybody in the national audience who's never done it, please go and do it. I've done it at least 3 times. It's the best adrenaline rush you're ever going to get. Now onto sports. I just wanted to get that out there, Maggie. Great.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, we needed that.
Yeah. And hey, happy Friday, everybody, too. Quick motivation. I hope you guys end your week off strong. Maggie, you enjoy the heck out of this show and whatever you got the rest of the day at the station, at the studio with work. But guys, let's finish off the week strong. And with that, the hockey.
Yeah,
you know what I love about hockey, Maggie Gray, and EJ. Good to hear from you always, buddy. Filling in the good old Andrew Perloff seat. You know what I love about hockey? I love hockey for the fights. And boy, did we get one during the Four Nations.
Yeah,
I saw the highlight on the YouTube. Bro, literally dropped the puck and boom, 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 boom. We started fighting right away, and I'm like,
wait, what was that? What did it sound like?
I made a little.
What are you, motorboating those guys? What are you doing, dude? Are you dropping the puck or something else?
I was going to say Tasmanian Devil. Sure, we'll go with motorboating.
No, that was my sound effect of people fighting. But you know what I did like? You know what I did like? I'm going to give it up here. We're going to give it up for give it up for the hockey fights.
Yeah.
Give it up for the hockey fights. There you go. There you go. There you go. Some claps.
Okay.
On this platform I'm using on the sound effects website. So claps up for that. You know what I did like, though?
The hockey fights,
yeah. But I also liked the intensity, man.
Yeah.
There were a lot of hip checks, and I think the crowd was really... Here's what the crowd, speaking of crowd, don't do the anthem. For the love, can we just respect other nationalities' anthems, Maggie Gray and EJ Stewart?
Well, like, for the love Thomas, of- I think it got more complicated than that. And you know what? A-plus call, thank you. Love the hockey fights.
I'll have whatever he's having. I know. He's fired up.
I love it. And he wants, you know, to wish everybody a great weekend. Yeah. Like, we're all about that around
here. How about
here.
The production? You got a little sound effect machine,
sound effect
too.
Machine.
that was the sound machine. That was his was mouth. That? Yeah. Sound effect machine was the laugh. Was the clapping, which I was like, oh, okay.
Maggie, good with the motorboat. The glazing, though, not so much.
Listen.
People lot is going to have a heart attack when you listen to this podcast, by the way.
Not one curse word has ever been uttered on this show that made it to air.
Wow.
We maybe spelled a couple. But we've never. No, listen. What did you guys think that was? It was like a Donald Duck? Like,
I really thought Tasmanian Devil. That's why when we first said it, I was like, oh, what are you, Taz? And then you said that. I was like, oh, well, that's the other thing, I guess.
Sounded like dudes fighting to me.
I just have this thing where I'm just saying what everybody's thinking. Some people can't handle that. Jeff is in Tucson. Hey, Jeff, no. You liked the hockey last night.
Yeah, but how do I follow up behind that guy?
Good luck to you.
Yeah, no kidding. You know, one of the things that I wanted to comment on is just switchy, because, you know, I'm a Cavalier fan, too.
Yeah.
So they were on at the same time. So I stole my wife's tablet and put the Cavalier game on the tablet, and the TV I got the hockey game on. And my wife sat there and watched the hockey game with me, which she's never done. And she even got into the whole hoopla of it being like a world game.
Yeah.
And like, and I told her, I said, it's like even better than the Stanley Cup. And, you know, I had to explain all that.
I mean, that's what some of the players were saying, that, yeah. Let alone us as fans. The players were saying this is more meaningful than playing in the Stanley Cup, which is maybe a little prisoner of the moment, but crazy thing to admit.
Megan, could we have expected anything greater than the last game to go into overtime?
I know.
I mean, we were treated as fans of hockey, as just sports fans.
I know.
Overall, just a great hockey. And boy, did the NHL get it right, and the NBA, look what they're doing. They got egg all over their face.
I know, Jeff, we were asking this week, and thanks for the call. Drive safe. If the NHL embarrassed the NBA this week of how well their gimmick worked versus the NBA's, just didn't. I call it a gimmick. I don't mean to sound like I'm knocking it, but this is what it was. I thought it was funny last night with the Four Nations. I wasn't sure what they were going to give out because, technically, you know, it's just an exhibition.
Yeah. Right.
A trophy, medals
yep.
that they put around their necks.
Yeah. Had an Olympic feel to it.
Totally.
Kind of both. The Olympic and then the trophy. It's not the Stanley Cup, but that sort of thing.
And some hats that I guess people weren't that crazy about. I thought the hats were fine.
Yeah.
They kind of look like a free hat you'd get with like a case of beer. I'll still take one.
I'll be honest. I'll be real. I feel like most championship hats look like that. I've never seen I mean, now, yo, joke, oh, your team's EJ never win championships.
You're setting yourself up for that one, EJ.
I know. So I'll get it out now. But I will say, I feel like I've never seen a championship hat that I would want. Like, the Liberty did just win, and I looked at the championship hats, and I'm like, I'll get a shirt.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Really quickly, and CeeLo, I know you got updates here, but I just want to point out something that I was so thrilled to see yesterday. And I had not seen it in the minor leagues, but finally, Major League Baseball, they're calling it the robot umps. Now, that's a little, I think, deceiving of what actually happened. But finally, in the major leagues, they started testing what is essentially the Hawkeye from tennis tournaments.
It's like ABS, they're calling it, right?
They call it ABS. I don't know what that stands for.
Automated balls and strikes.
Automated balls and strikes. That makes sense.
Sorry, man.
Okay.
That's okay, CeeLo.
I love it. To call it robot umps is not exactly there yet because it's not every ball and strike. What happens is either the batter, the pitcher, or the catcher can pat the top of their head to signal they want to challenge the ball or the strike, and they immediately go to the Hawkeye, which is the slow motion on a Jumbotron of the ball coming, and you see in tennis whether it hits the line or not, and it's really dramatic and fun. In this case, it was whether or not it was in the strike zone. And so it was Poteet, right, the guy from the Yankees, against
Correct.
Max Muncy was the first one. And the pitcher was right. It was a strike. It got called a ball. It goes from 1-1 to 0-2, and then he struck him out on the next pitch. I love this. So it looks like it's going to be two challenges per game. That should increase because the flow was quick. I'm just all about this.
How about the drama and the intrigue of a World Series clincher ending on a overturned ball strike challenge?
Well, and the other part is who, like, if you're a manager, are you empowering all of your guys to call for the challenge?
Interesting.
Because if you only get two per game, then you can't blow them both, like, in the first inning. And guys probably always think that they're getting hosed on calls.
Right. And in the NBA, they'll tell the coach, they'll make the sign, but it's ultimately the coach that has to put the challenge through, right?
Yeah. Yes. And also, like, most of the time, they're wrong.
You got to challenge
check it,
that.
Check it, check it. Luca, check it, check it. It's like, dude,
they do that little twirling motion, home run.
Yeah, exactly.
And there are definitely moments in NBA games.
And the tennis players miss all the time, too.
Sure.
They ask for challenges.
They get a lot more, though, right?
Well, also, tennis, it's like every millimeter, you know?
But I'm saying the amount of challenges they're allowed per match. I feel like it happens much more regularly.
Yeah, I think it's 5.
Yeah.
I got to double check.
Yeah, and in the NBA, you'll definitely see moments where I think the coach knows he's going to lose it, but for the sake of backing up his star, he just challenges
it. So they took away challenges because it was taking too long. Right. That's the thing about the NBA. It takes so long. This Hawkeye thing, though, takes but a second. And it's fantastic.
I mean, you can go on social media now and watch the clip, and it's like 20 seconds long. Like, it's like super quick. It's not like
not intrusive into the sport.
It's not this long thing where it's going to take forever.
Or
no,
college
this is awesome.
Basketball, heaven forbid, at the end of these games sometimes. It's like, oh, my gosh.
I think you made a good point, though, about who gets the right to do this thing. Because I don't know if the 21-year-old coming up from AA, like, he's going to be allowed to really just be pulling this. I wonder if you really say, hey, Aaron Judge, all right, you think there's a ball and a strike issue, you go up there. Maybe not so much for Jason Dominguez. I think that's real. I really do. I don't think you're going to allow, especially these young guys who maybe don't know the strike zone that well, also to be saying what's balls and what's strikes.
Other baseball news that's of interest to a couple people in this room. CeeLo, you got that for us?
Yeah, I mean, it's been an interesting, we'll call it 24 hours or so for the Yankees. And they first had the 2-year contract extension for manager Aaron Boone. And then this morning put out an announcement there that they are finally amending their, I'm going to call it, antiquated facial hair policy to allow for, quote, well-groomed beards, to the point where they're actually going to hold a press conference at 11 Eastern with Hal Steinbrenner and Brian Cashman.
Are you serious?
Yes, yeah. I am.
I got the press release.
Did you read this full statement?
Manny read it to us. Okay. I just got the email. I'm on the Yankees PR list, so I just got the email.
Excuse us.
It really went into detail with this statement on all the background work they did on this across multiple years, which was interesting to me. So
you know what bothers me about this? While this was the right decision and I'm happy for the Yankees, which is rare, have Yankee players, Yankee fans who feel like this is ridiculous. I don't like it though when you spend also those same years where apparently you were doing all this background to see whether or not this is what you could do. We've had Hal Steinbrenner on record being like, this is the right thing. We know this is the way to go. Players don't complain about it. In fact, it sounds like it was the exact opposite, that there was perhaps this issue that they had to look into and see if it had to change. Like, I don't like being gaslit. Well, like, everyone EJ knew this was ridiculous, and you're telling me it's not. And then after you make the decision, say, yeah, actually, you know what? We had to talk to a lot of people to see if this was the right thing to do.
Yeah, I think it's called a lie.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to call anyone a liar. I'm just saying it sounds like a lie that you were so staunchly in the camp of, we got to keep this stupid policy, and now all of a sudden it's gone. I think they are trying to just say, like, no, we thought it through, like, to cover themselves, that they're not just making a willy-nilly decision.
Oh, so you don't think there was this back and forth for a year or two?
Maybe we got a couple emails, but I don't think it was a committee, you know, that's been diving deep into this.
Well, that's what was interesting about the wording to me, is that they say in recent weeks, Hal Steinbrenner spoke to a large number of current former players. But then the other part was, this was part of an ongoing internal dialogue that had been going on for several years.
I feel bad because I think Andrew McCutchen had to cut his braids just to go to the Yankees and, like, have no impact.
They had guys show up. Devin Williams shaved his beard already. Max Fried is there with the mustache. Like, so.
Yeah, this is not that thought through.
But, like, yeah. If you were going to make the change a couple days ago, you might have saved Devin Williams or some of your other guys the beards that they had come to know and love.
Yeah, probably Johnny Damon, a single tear just rolls down his cheek.
We probably could have kept Gleyber Torres now as well.
Oh, was he a facial hair guy?
Oh, you should check him out with the Tigers. He's letting that thing
like David Letterman?
Oh, yeah. No, well, not like David Letterman, but he's looking handsome.
I think it went beyond that with Gleyber, but I did see those.
Hustle to first base.
I
did see those photos. Yeah, maybe.
A lot of these guys, once they get cut loose, they can't wait to grow the facial hair back. Gary Sanchez was like that.
Joey Gallo cut his beard. All of a sudden, he couldn't hit anymore.
Who's the best?
And then could never hit again.
Who on the Yankee roster will grow a beard out will look the best, you think? Now that we have...
Well,
now
if Devin Williams can grow his back.
Well, that's the thing. We don't know who can grow their beards because we haven't seen them. We don't see these guys in the offseason. Who can grow a beard?
If he can get on the field,
Maggie didn't know that Gleyber Torres can grow a beard.
No, I didn't.
No, none of us did.
He was a big offseason facial hair guy, and then he'd have to get rid of it when they got to spring
training.
This
is a weird one to kind of give, like, as Joe Benigno says, kadoos. It's kind of weird to give kadoos to a team for doing something that feels like it... The relevance of this died somewhere in the 50s. Like, I don't even...
Well...
It wasn't around in the 50s.
Steinbrenner put it in play when he bought the team in the 70s, yeah.
By the way, Manny was not, like, overselling Gleyber Torres' blow up. He looks like a model.
And he looks much happier.
Bro is good looking. He's always been good looking. He looks great with that beard. And now that he's a Detroit Tiger, he can let that thing grow as long as he wants.
I would say beard for men is like makeup for women.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Why do you think I wear a beard?
Same. Covers my face fat.
Yeah, exactly.
A little bit. Not enough, but this to is some extent.
This is the secret.
Yeah.
No, we know. It's just the Yankees who couldn't get on board. No, women know. We know. Guys look better with beards, depending. But no, for some reason, the Yankees decided to do this. It's
now.
It's fishy.
Yeah.
It's very fishy. I don't think they've been thinking about this for a long time. I think Hal Steinbrenner's probably got young kids, and they probably maybe did something.
A la Brick Johnson and the Jets.
Yeah, I think it's like a Brick Johnson thing.
Gerrit Cole was a beard guy in prior stops.
Yeah.
I've never seen Aaron Judge with facial hair. I'm curious if he'll roll out there with any facial hair.
Stanton is a soul patch guy.
Stan can
go full beard now.
I think he's going to grow a beard and he's going to look awesome.
Well, he's kind of like a model.
Stanton?
Yeah.
Well, he's got to take care of the double tennis elbow first.
Yeah, please, yeah. Bro.
Yeah, he's got to
go. He didn't get that from actually playing tennis, right?
No.
Because also, that wouldn't explain both elbows. You don't, you don't generally like switch hands.
He got it from growing out his beard.
Yeah, right.
Preparing for the offseason.
So bad that he hasn't been swinging a bat for the last 4 to 5 weeks.
Who cares? This is great. He's good in the playoffs. Cecil, you want to hang out for a sec?
Sure.
Okay, got to take a quick break. See you guys. Let's keep talking about this hockey game last night, which was epic, and we'll talk about the future tentacles of what did it mean last night to have so many people invested in the four-nation face-off. Don't move. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Parloff on vacation, EJ sliding in, and Chris Lopresti here. We kind of shortchanged you on some headlines, and let's hear some hockey highlights, CeeLo.
Yeah, it's all been all about the hockey this morning, and it did feel a little like 2010 in the Vancouver Winter Olympics. USA-Canada went to overtime last night with pro hockey glory on the line, and the Canadians would prevail yet again.
Off the drop, and David went forward, and nearly got a shot on. McCarr sends it around.
Chris Cuthbert, final call, Sportsnet in Canada as Connor McDavid gets the glory this time around, set up by Mitch Marner and Cale Makar at 8:18 of overtime. But prior to that game winner, Jordan Binnington, exceptional in goal for Canada, especially during a couple of key sequences, robbed Austin Matthews multiple times to keep his team alive.
Just taking it all in now, kind of calmed down a little bit, but I mean, what a moment. And so much led to this special moment between the for all of us. So we're really just now enjoying it.
Binnington on NHL Network Radio, and there's a guy for the Blues in 2019, won a Game 7 of the Cup Final on that Boston ice against the Bruins. So certainly familiar with coming up big in a big spot in that building. Mm-hmm. As for McDavid, wasn't exactly a standout performance for him by his standards until he buried that game winner, and he acknowledged it afterwards.
I was not very good all night. All that was going through my mind is just keep going, you know. I struggled all night, but these guys played great, and we just found a way.
McDavid with Emily Kaplan on ESPN. Brady Tkachuk, certainly a standout for the U.S. team, but heartbreak for them. They had a 2-1 lead in the second period, and they carried play in the third period, and we talked about the chances in overtime. Here was Brady Tkachuk afterwards.
This sucks. I thought this team deserved more. We had chances there to finish it off. This has been my favorite hockey memories, just playing for this team.
Brother Matt, only 6:47 of ice time. He was hampered by that, we'll call it lower body injury, and tried to give it a go, but you could see he was just uncomfortable on the bench.
Go ahead, Manny.
CeeLo, how come they don't disclose what those injuries are? How come it's not a foot injury? How come it's not a thigh injury or something?
Somewhere
how come it's
along
deep vein
the way,
thrombosis?
Sure.
Within the last, I'm going to say, maybe like 10, 15 years, maybe coming out of one of the lockouts, that became a thing. I forget who started it, upper body, lower body, body, where I guess the concern would be, since it's such a physical game, you'll have guys pinpointing
targeting.
The location, targeting. Yeah, exactly.
Which is funny because they could do that in the NFL,
right.
Too.
Yeah.
College, they're a little more cagey. Probably has to do it, I think, with their union. What's interesting, so Brady Tkachuk was one of the guys who actually had a moment. So when Jordan Binnington was really standing on his head in that overtime, it was a stop on Austin Matthews, then the stop on Brady Tkachuk, I think, out of the face-off, which was just like amazing. And then then it was Brady Tkachuk, then it was off the face-off. It was Austin Matthews again. I mean,
the glove save.
Binnington was just, he was all over the place.
I couldn't quite tell from the angles they had the Brady Tkachuk chance, which was the second chance in that sequence, essentially off of a rebound.
Yeah.
It was sort of an awkward angle, like Binnington got it with the glove. I was curious if that puck definitely would have went in or if it would have went through the crease. I mean, great save either way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it was hard to tell if that actually was like targeted for going in.
The one on the off the face off was bananas.
That was the one.
And he was like very smooth and sort of casual about it even. It was just like, I'm all over this.
It's funny because he was taking some heat from Canadians who didn't feel like he was playing well. And he wasn't playing all that well. And then he puts on that performance last night. He was special.
And Ray Ferraro mentioned it multiple times throughout. His reputation, his MO is that, you know, he'll let in a soft one here or there, but he'll come up with the big stops and the big moments. And that's exactly what you saw last night. So we've had some fun with the rivalry and some of the edginess that played out over the last few days, both on and off the ice. But ran a little deeper than that for Paul Bissonnette, who you, of course, see and hear on TNT's coverage of the NHL.
He's got nasty.
The Spit and Chicklets podcast. Mm-hmm. So this was in our system. Not sure if it's just a video he posted to social media, but his immediate raw reaction as a Canadian to the McDavid game winner.
Jesus! McJesus! He has risen! I told you guys, this is our game! This is our sport! Rights, baby! We're bringing it home! We did it in your barn, too! We're still the greatest hockey nation in the world! Don't you forget it!
Now that he's got all that off his chest, right. we got a 14-game slate, regular season NHL tomorrow, so let's get back to business, and I'm sure he'll be much calmer next time he appears on TNT's coverage of the league.
I wonder, did Justin Trudeau, you know, did he actually listen to that? Because his tweet is kind of similar, where he said, you can't take our country and you can't take our game. A little bit like the political
Mars
version.
Who came first?
Of that.
Yeah. So, intense, to say the least.
Yeah, maybe he's a Trudeau translator. Yeah. Remember I said earlier we need an Obama translator for LeBron?
Luther, the Obama translator from Key and Peele.
Oh, man.
I love when you call it a barn. Calling an arena a barn.
They like the barn. The Canadians like that reference.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
I know that one better than banged on.
Yeah. Let's see if CeeLo knows this.
Yeah, Bogus was bringing me up to speed on this.
Manny tweeted, not to throw you under the bus, Manny, but the tweet was a little deceiving.
Oh, yeah. The bus.
I saw the tweet yesterday. I was working down the hall locally here, and I was like, what's going on over there with this poll?
People often ask, what's going on down here? Motorboating? Anyway, what we asked was, have you ever heard, Pat Boyle was in your seat yesterday, and he said that Austin Reeves got banged out of the game.
Yeah.
Right. And nobody here had heard of that. I did.
Yes.
And then we went on to say, which means he got ejected from the game.
Yeah.
Then apparently no one around here had ever heard the term that a game, like a baseball game, gets banged for rain.
Heard both. I would have been on. I would have been on Team Pat Boyle for that one.
Totally.
Yeah.
You guys were acting like, you know, we were saying something untoward.
I've never heard this.
I called baseball games, like Pat said yesterday. I'm very, very familiar with those terms. I just like to stir the pot.
Especially with and then for basketball, like to me, you get banged on. It means you got dunked on. Like that's at least as a basketball player. That's what we would say. Oh, you got banged on.
How did he phrase it? He got banged on. See, I would have said he got banged out of the game.
I thought he said banged out.
The banged on part, I would have been like, that doesn't quite sound right. Like
banged on.
I think he just said banged. I don't even say banged out. I think he said got banged from the game.
See that? The banged on part wouldn't have made sense for the ejection. Banged from the game or banged out of the game? I would have been like, yep, I gotcha.
If someone got banged on for some reason, what the visual is in my head is like Charles Barkley's big butt, like moving somebody out of the way the rim and grabbing a rebound and going up and dunking.
There you go. That works.
I don't know why.
That works.
But yeah, if a game gets banged,
yeah,
it gets postponed.
Postponed, right.
I learned something from doing this show this week. I'm going to keep that now.
You can have it.
Yeah. We're learning something new every day. I learned today I can eat a, you know, maple jam hot dog at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
So you never know.
You know, you're stronger than you think, CeeLo.
Was it good, CeeLo?
It was. And, you know, it picked me up because you guys referenced when I first walked in here in the first hour that, I was down about last night's U.S.-Canada result. And I was dragging a little down in the dumps. But
nothing makes an American happier than a hot dog.
I know.
With maple syrup on it.
This is as American as it gets.
A little food from the Red Bulls to get you going on a Friday morning.
Who knew? The only more American thing was if you actually set up, you walked into a hot dog eating contest and you actually had to eat like 50 in a row.
No.
That would be as American as possible.
That would have ended poorly in here for me.
Have a little coffee with your maple jam hot dog. And we appreciate the people from the New York Red Bulls for bringing that out to us. Thank you, Manny and Alex. Thank you, CeeLo, Andrew Kaplan, EJ, fantastic all week, filling in for Perloff.
Perloff
will be back from his vacation on Monday. Will we make him pay off his bet of driving to San Antonio to apologize to Victor Wembanyama? Stay tuned. Have a great weekend.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.